Time for another edition of Garden Talk. Hello, I'm Larry Mueller, and to begin the program, I'm joined by Mary Kay Shear of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're here to talk with you about our fall membership drive. This is the last day of the drive. We're asking you to become a contributing listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, be it $35, $120, $200. Every gift, any amount, it all makes a difference. I hope you'll donate now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Mary Kay, we have a little incentive.
We do. We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now, up to $2,000. So every single gift will be matched up to $2,000, and it's offered by the ever-generous Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Get your pledge doubled right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in just a minute, we'll be talking with Bob Tomisch, UW-Madison Senior Lecturer in Horticulture, and he'll be talking, obviously, about, maybe the vegetable garden, the flower garden for sure, probably a little bit of advice on transplanting perennials, maybe answering some of your gardening questions. And talks like this on the Ideas Network are possible because of your financial support. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The important thing is make a gift, any amount, because it will be doubled right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think it's one of the best things you can do with 3 minutes of your time. Just give us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. And whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe, and that's very important.
We absolutely do. And your gift now, with a little magic wand and hard work, turns into the programs and advice that you hear on Larry's show and on other shows. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're wondering what your pledge pays for, well, we have the toll-free numbers, so you can call in with your questions. And we rely on things like newspapers and magazine subscriptions, internet services, so that we can research the topics of the day and all these things. And of course, many more have costs associated with them. So your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 helps to pay for them.
This is the last day for you to pledge your support to Larry's program and to Jim Packard, who has been Larry's faithful companion and sidekick for so many years. I'm just filling in for him right now. You know, and we know that WPR programs enrich your life. We know that. And for a pledge of $120 or more, you get a little bit more enrichment. The
That's
WPR
right.
member card, which Larry, I know you have.
And I
have.
Use it too.
I know. And you can get savings on this with this member card. You can get savings at restaurants, B&Bs, golf courses, cultural attractions throughout the state.
And we've actually wound up dining at restaurants that we might not have dined at because we had the card. And so it's really kind of cool that way. I hope you'll pledge your support now, $120 or more. Receive the WPR member card. Whatever the amount, though, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have, it looks like we've got a pledge in the door, and so that means we've got plenty to go here, and we would love to hear from you. That pledge was doubled, so thank you for that, and we'd love to hear from you because we have that $2,000 challenge from the Master Gardeners Association. So let's hear from you now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might even consider becoming a sustaining member by making an automatically renewing monthly contribution. The more sustainers we have, the more stable we are. And really, to thank you, we'll plant a tree. A jack pine, I think.
I love that.
in the Shawamigan National Forest. So donate now at WPR.org or call us and make your donation at 888-202-2552. Couple in.
A couple in. We're looking for your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking forward to talking with Bob Tomisch as well, Bob, great to see you again.
Oh, it's always fun to be back here, Larry.
I know that you get lots and lots of questions from people. What are you hearing most about these days?
Well, right now we have kind of an interesting event going on. It's been very warmer than usual.
Yeah.
And it's dry.
Yeah.
And everybody was looking for the fabulous fall color, and it was here and gone almost.
Yeah,
because
it went fast.
It's so dry, the leaves are falling off. The next thing people or questions that are coming in are relating to how do I get my perennial beds ready for winter, taking care of fruit trees and things like this. What type of protection? So that's the main thing right now.
I should give the number. If you'd like to join in and have a question for Bob, call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org, and we'll get you on pretty quickly here. Fall a good time to transplant some of those spring flowering perennials?
Yeah, and especially right now the soil temperature is warm enough, although that could change in a week or two. We never know what's coming up. But we normally like to see 3 to 6 weeks of warmer soil temperatures, and that's temperatures above freezing. As we move those perennials from one location to another, whether it's iris or peonies or anything else, and giving them the planting, proper location, and then watering. It's very dry right now. Placing these plants on a watering schedule maybe every 4 days or so will initiate that root growth. We don't see anything happening on top right now, but the fall is a good time for root growth, whether we're looking at perennials or transplanted trees and shrubs.
Excellent. We have some callers online, and we'll get to those calls in just a minute here. We had some girdling last year, I know, of the apple trees. Mice girdling some of them. Any suggestions to prevent that kind of problem this year?
Well, we always have to prepare ourselves for winter. And there was a study done some time ago with fruit trees that homeowners buy. And we found that over 25% are lost each year, especially when we first start out, due to mice girdling or possibly rabbits.
Yeah.
And mice are the biggest problem. They come in a little short of food during the winter months. And
yeah.
There's a high amount of sugar in many of our fruit types of crops. And so they'll girdle that bark, and then the tree is pretty much done. To protect from that, we're suggesting some hardware cloth. You buy that at your local hardware store. Mm-hmm. It's a quarter-inch mesh, wire mesh. And placing it around the plant. One thing, when you're placing it around the tree, make that cone maybe 6 inches across. And when that soil is wet, kind of push that cone down into the ground so the little critters don't crawl underneath the cone and set up housekeeping.
Yeah, good points. Don in New London has a question for you. So let's go to Don. Hi, Don.
Hi. See, kind of wondering, I'm overrun with raspberry plants, and I want to transplant them. They're not quite dormant yet. Would it be better to wait till spring, or can I do it now?
It's at that point where it's a little bit late. Raspberry plants are a little slower to root than some of the others. I would wait in the spring as soon as the soil thaws, get out there and dig those crowns. Make sure you dig deep enough so that you get down to the base of the crown. You'll see some horizontal roots coming off at the base, and move those having about 4 inches rooted on each side of the crown. And spacing them out appropriately, about 18 inches apart or whatever you have room for.
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling. Dan in Partyville, on to you now. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure.
We grew pumpkins again this year, and they grew very, very well, like the zucchini did. And the problem is, once the vines died off, I cut them off and left them lay, and probably 10% of them are rotting already. Well, is that because of the hot summer?
Well, it's a few things. The warm summer has really been good for disease. And some of the rotting you're seeing were actually vascular diseases that came up through the root system and probably impacted the plant. I don't know unless we do a sample. That's the unfortunate part. We had a warm summer. The plants matured earlier than usual, and rot sometimes sets in a little bit faster. If you can keep them cool, I don't know how many plants you have or whatever, but pick the good quality ones, place them in the shade or in a steel building. Some people place them on a wagon or something like that, push it in, just to keep them out of the sunlight and warming up.
If it is disease, how can I prevent that next year? Move the garden?
With the cucurbits, I'd always rotate to another location.
Okay.
You not only have foliar diseases, but you have vascular diseases.
Okay.
And you're being plagued with vascular right now.
Okay. So maybe move them next year, and I should be a little better.
A little better, and then look for disease-resistant varieties.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Mary in Lebanon, you are next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I attended Horticultural Day in spring, and I purchased some of the disease-resistant tomatoes, and the aromas were just outstanding. I'm still getting tomatoes. But I wondered if he knew what variety they sold that was more disease-resistant to the blight, because I really had good luck with them, and I'd like to get them again. Or is there a way I can find out?
For the disease-resistant varieties, I believe there's a publication that Extension has where we list the vegetable varieties.
Okay.
And in there should be the disease-resistant ones. And we try to update that every other year. And our pathologist in the vegetable area, Amanda Givens, has been doing a fair amount of work in trying to identify some of those varieties. So I'd check on that. That's available on the LearningStore.com website.
Okay. And then I want to know, because now we... Last year, because you know, with all the blight, I mean, I lost all my tomatoes the previous year with blight. So, and we had mulched with marsh hay, and so we were told to bury that, which we did. Now, is it safe to plant, like, next year any potatoes in that area, or should I give it another year or so?
We usually talk about a minimum of a 3-year crop rotation.
Okay.
4 is better. And the reason you're letting that marsh hay rot is so that it deteriorates. And the spores that might have dropped, especially if you had a bad infection 2 years ago, take about that long to starve themselves to death.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Good questions, Mary. Thank you for calling. Let's turn to Dave and Tomahawk next. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Lake Tomahawk.
Lake Tomahawk. Okay.
I have a question. Maple trees. When is a good time to prune them?
Well, any of our fruit trees or our landscape trees, we're encouraging people to wait until spring, usually starting around the 1st of March. You want to do that while the trees are still dormant and we don't have any insect activity. If we do it at this time of the year, we have a couple of warm weeks of weather. We might even see some regrowth. And what that's happening is it's reducing its ability to tolerate the cold temperatures of winter. So wait till spring.
Okay.
And there you go. Thanks a lot for calling. Leland in Wausau. We're on to you now. Hi, Leland.
Hello there.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I have some purple lilacs, a plant, purple lilacs,
yeah.
And I want to propagate and make more of them. And I've been waiting. The plants are several years. They're 10, 15 years old, and they don't send out runners or shoots, and so like the other lilacs do. And I was wondering, can I propagate those by making cuttings and putting them in the ground? And or how do I do that? When do I do that?
Well, you got a couple things going there. One, if they do not send out suckers, it's one of the newer varieties. And I often caution people against trying to, it's not proper to propagate patented plant materials. But if you have a lilac and you want to propagate it, I would suggest digging right alongside of the next spring, dig right alongside the lilac in the spring as soon as the soil thaws, and take about a 4-inch root segment and then set that off by itself, oh, maybe about an inch down in the ground. You can lay it flat, and it'll send up some new shoots.
Oh, I see. Take the root segment and not a twig from the...
Right.
You can do it by twigs, but it's more of a challenge.
Yeah, it's easier with the roots.
Try a root on that one.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Bob Tomisch, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison and UW-Extension, our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have some open lines and can get you on pretty quickly with your gardening question for Bob Tomisch. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. A couple of emails in. We had an on-the-road trucker who emailed in, has a rose bush with black spots. What might that be, and how do you deal with it?
I'd have to find out if he's got the black spots on the leaves or if there's some growth going on the individual canes. We'll deal with the black spots on the leaves. This is a fungal problem. Some varieties are more susceptible to others, and in that case, you, or as a homeowner or whatever, need to apply some type of fungicide starting early in the spring when the new leaf growth starts. It's usually the humid weather that brings that one on. Some people on roses will also notice that on their canes, they get kind of a crumbly black type growth, and that's the result of an aphid. A small little insect of Phil Pelletieri or Ziri, give you the exact name, but it's a little critter. Anyway, that one needs to be controlled early in the spring before our growth really starts coming in with some type of pesticide that controls that type of growth, and that would be during the period until they start leafing out.
Okay. An email from Bethany in Madison, who loves the Garden Talk show, and says, I'm wondering what's the best approach to making leaf mulch to use in spring. Do I need to chop the leaves? Do I need to add grass clippings or some other form of nitrogen? And should I water the leaves?
Well, all of the above. If you chop up the leaves, they're going to break down a lot faster.
Yeah.
Adding grass clippings adds a little bit of moisture and that type of thing. Watering is going to help break it down. We're not going to have much decomposing now this year because our season's going to be relatively short here. But if you have it in a compost pile, another thing you can cheat for every bushel, you put in maybe a quarter of a cup or a half a cup of fertilizer, and that helps feed the bacteria so they eat faster. So most of that decomposition is going to happen in the spring, but some people will place that material they've collected out now, chopped up, into an area maybe under shrubs or something like that, and let it decompose on its own.
Okay, so you don't, no need to cover it with a tarp or anything over winter?
No, unless you want to keep it from blowing away, so you need some type of thing to hold it in place.
All right. Well, let's take some more calls. Lou Ray, your turn. Hi, in Rosendale.
Hi. I have a question about transplanting peonies and transplanting asparagus, and I'm, you know, including preparing the soil, and can I plant them where I had a garden previously with tomatoes and green peppers and lettuce and things like that? And also how to prepare the soil and plant seeds from native plants.
Well, you've got a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
Let me just deal with the asparagus. If you have your soil already prepared, like in a part of your former garden, that's a great spot. Rather than transplant, I would buy new starts because if you ever try to dig up an asparagus plant, they're huge underneath. I'm talking 3 feet, 4 feet down and across, and then they're stunted for a while. Go down next spring and buy some varieties and plant them accordingly. That takes care of that. Peonies, it's getting a little late this season to be transplanting that one. You can still do it, water it in. Otherwise, early in the spring, as soon as the soil thaws, and it's very important to move it before we really have any growth. So you've got a couple of options there. As for seeds of wild plants, people are out now collecting native plant material seeds. And the best thing to do is seed those in your spot, in your garden or whatever right now. And they need a certain amount of chilling, about 90 days below 32 degrees. And here in Wisconsin, we can guarantee that.
Yeah.
And spreading those out, covering them with about, a quarter inch of sand or soil, marking that row, and then seeing what you get. And that's probably the best thing. So planting now rather than placing them up on the shelf for storage.
Yep. There you go. Thank you, Lou Ray. Appreciate your call. Erda in Brilliant. Hello to you.
Yes, hello. I'm getting a mound system Monday and Tuesday. Do we put the grass in there now or next year?
So you got a mound system.
Yeah.
Right. Monday and Tuesday it will be in.
Yep. Right now it's too late to really be planting grass.
Too late?
Because what happens is the grass takes about 20 days to germinate, the good quality grasses. There's some inexpensive ones. Like the fescues, which you could probably get by at planting, you might as well plant and even plant oats over it or something like that, just to hold the soil in place.
Okay.
And then next spring, as soon as the soil thaws, I'd go in there and till it back up and then plant a good quality grass. And you're talking about mowing over it eventually, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Then I'd come in and buy good turf grass with something with blue fescue or Kentucky bluegrass or some of the fescues, and they'll take right off. But right now, just to hold the soil in place, I'd go with even oats.
Oats,
What the farmers grow.
Okay, and then what do you put on top of it, straw?
Yeah, spread some straw on. They also make some real nice meshing now. If you go down to one of your landscape places and you can buy a roll of that. You see it along the highways. It's about 8 feet wide, comes in rolls of 100 feet. And the whole idea there is it prevents erosion, and that's what you want to control. You can try spreading some straw over that area. The problem is you get a windy day, and it's over in the neighbors.
Right. Yeah. So, yep. Excuse me, what did you say I should put on?
Either some fall fescue.
Okay.
Or oats, O-A-T-S, the same thing.
That I know, but the rest, like I see something on the highway, you said.
Oh, the mesh. It looks like straw, and it's woven in a kind of a plastic weaving.
Where do I get that?
Go down to a garden center, and they'll help you out.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's not all that expensive either, if I'm not.
No, I've bought it before. I can't remember what I paid for it.
Heather in Menominee, hello to you.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about prepping the garden for this fall. My significant other wants to put like an inexpensive organic material, and so he's thinking about going down and asking one of the farmers for an old bale of hay, you know, the big round stuff, and then chop it up. And I'm not sure whether that's a good idea or not in terms of adding organic matter and just sort of tilling it into the top for the winter.
Yeah, when you put that on, only put a couple of inches on and then work it into the soil. And it will do some decomposition right now. If somebody has an old hay bale, just letting it rot for a year or two and then putting that on, that's a good way of adding compost.
Okay.
But he's on the right track.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that should help for drainage next year?
I'm assuming you're in a sandy area?
It's reasonably sandy, but there's some... Hey, there's some patches in the garden that don't
yep.
drain as well as others.
Okay.
We don't know why, but
well, it all depends. I'm not sure what side of Menominee you're on there. That's a real transition zone up there.
Yeah, we're kind of on the southeast, kind of toward Eau Claire.
Yeah, that was getting my next guess.
A little slice of Iowa, as we call it.
Sometimes you get a little hard pan down in that area, especially if you're in a lower river bottom area.
Okay.
And so that might be happening there.
Okay, so if the bale's a couple, 3 years old, that should be old enough to...
Yeah, just make sure you don't put too much on. Put on a couple, shake it over the top, 3 inches.
Okay.
And then spade that in. Use a spade or a shovel. Tiller, you're going to have lots of fun.
Yeah. Great. You need a shovel for that. All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Bob Tomish, our guest today, Larry Mueller here. Mary Kay Shearer joins us again from Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Your gift of $60, let's say, or $120, going to help us continue this important public service in the coming months. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Mary Kay, how are we doing with that dollar-for-dollar match?
Well, it's really exciting that we have a dollar-for-dollar match, and it's from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. They will donate an additional dollar for every dollar you pledge, and guess what? $2,000 is what they've donated. We are already more than halfway at $1,175 toward that match, so there's still time for you to get in on that. They are obviously encouraging you to support this program. We always appreciate the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. They do this often with us, and we so much appreciate it on Garden Talk. So now, double the buying power of your pledge right now by giving to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think I've mentioned in the program in the past that Master Gardeners actually get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk, and that just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice. We have some of the best gardening resource people in the state right here to answer your questions. People like Bob Tomish do a wonderful job.
We've been hearing about roses today. We've been hearing about oats and fescue and all different kinds of things, composting. No matter what it is, cleaning up garden at the end of the growing season,
yeah.
No matter what it is, you can always apply some fertilizer to the program. by making your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we don't spread fertilizer around with our recommendation and comments. It's the straight stuff, and it's the real good suggestions and advice from people like Bob Tomich. Maybe you like WPR because of the good it brings to the community. For you, having WPR available may be personally important. It's also important to you that everyone in the state has access to in-depth news and the discussions and the great music and entertainment and shows like Garden Talk.
Exactly. So become a member. It's very easy. A contribution of any amount makes you a member. And you're not only doing something good for yourself, you are doing something good for the entire statewide community of Wisconsin Public Radio. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like a lot of the programs on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I imagine you do too. You get some value from this program. I certainly hope so. But Kathleen Dunn, I enjoy listening to her, and Chapter a Day, and Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and What Do You Know? Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Many, many others that you've come to rely on. I think we give you a window on the world like no other.
Absolutely, we do. And this is the time now to support the exciting mix of programs that you love and you enjoy on your station. You can do it with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're creeping up toward the top, that $2,000. We're at $1,775. You can put us over with a $100 pledge turns into a $200 contribution to this program because of the matching grant. So you might consider as well making your pledge in the form of an ongoing monthly gift. You can set that up on your credit card or better yet, right from your bank account. Whether you make an ongoing gift, when you do that, you don't have to remember to renew your support each year. And that's kind of important too.
We are up to $1,775 on that $2,000 match from the Wisconsin Gardeners Association. We want to thank them again, and you still have time to get in on that.
Yep.
So now is your chance. Wisconsin Public Radio would love to hear from you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we have more callers online with questions for Bob. And you know what? Let's just go right back to the phones. Janet in Brussels, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I had a question about mock orange bushes.
Okay.
And I'm a fan of the fragrance of a mock orange bush. And finally, my husband says, well, I'm going to buy you one. You'll have one of your own. And we planted it, and it grew, and it blossomed, and there was absolutely no fragrance at all. And I thought, here, you wait a year for that baby to get up there and have all those nice white blooms and not a fragrance in sight. So I'm wondering at this point, now we did get that from one of the catalogs, that it said in the catalog that it was a fragrant one, but it isn't. Then I ask a gardener who should know, and he says, you know, there's probably 70 or 80 varieties of mock orange bushes, and you obviously got one that has no fragrance at all. If I was to stop sometime where I know people in Sturgeon Bay have mock orange bushes when they bloom and everything, what would I need? Would I need a branch? Would I need a root? How would I do that? I'm not going to order any more from catalogs. There was one blooming at a garden center, and I went over, and there was very little fragrance on that one, so I did not buy one from the garden center. But I do know where there's some that are, like, up to the second floor of their home. That's how big and mature they are. Should I take a shovel and say, okay, can I dig up a root? Or how do you do that if you know that one that you're going after has the flowers and has the fragrance?
So are you doing this during the daylight, talking to the homeowner, or coming in after dark? The way to propagate the mock orange, and the older varieties are much more fragrant, and because some of the people complained that the fragrance was so strong that that's been selected out of some of the newer varieties. But let's step back, and if you find somebody that has a very fragrant one and they're willing to share something, mock orange suckers very easily.
Okay.
So if you dug up just dig down right next to the plant and try mm-hmm. to get one of the stems and maybe 4 or 5 inches of root.
Okay.
Even if you cut that stem, then sometimes, you know, like on the taller ones, the stem might be 5-6 feet long. Just cut it off, and it'll send up some new shoots right around the base of that stem area. Otherwise, if you go out, and again, just like the person with the lilac, take about a 4 or 5 inch segment of root,
uh-huh.
and polarity is very important. The portions that are closest to the stems, it needs to be vertical, but if you're unsure, just lay it horizontally about an inch down in your garden
mm-hmm.
and watch it, and it'll start sending up shoots.
All right. That sounds encouraging.
All right.
Yeah, it's a wonderful fragrance.
I agree.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Arlene. Or Janet, excuse me. I'm thinking of ahead to Arlene, who's up next. Arlene from New Berlin. Hi. Thank you for calling.
I really appreciate your time, and I wish I could sit with the both of you and ask you questions that I need to know about my half acre of property.
Oh.
My husband planted a lot of perennials. Now, I have 3 bushes. One is a Rosa Sharon, and one is, it has, the new shoots that are coming up are like a maroon color, but the base ones are like a dull green, and then the tree and the bush in the back looks like a red maple, but it's a bush. When do I prune those, and how far down do I go? And the second question is, I have aster plants. One is a pink and one is a fuchsia color. They are absolutely gorgeous. They're on the east side of the house, and they are very profuse. Can I move them to the west side of the property where it gets a lot of sun also? And when do I move that? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, as for the pruning of the Rosa Sharon, winter might do part of that for you because some of the varieties just simply freeze down. It sends up new shoots in the spring, so I'm not sure what varieties you have. There are some varieties that will overwinter, and with those, people just shorten them back, and whatever new growth comes off of the buds that are in the top 2 feet of the plant. So it depends on what varieties you have. So that's the Rose of Sharon. And some parts of Wisconsin, they don't make winter either. They're almost a zone 5. As for your asters, the time to move, that's a fall blossoming, and usually our fall blossoming plants we suggest moving, or the best time to move is in the spring. So next spring, as soon as the soil thaws, I would move those plants. The other thing you can do is divide it into half or 4, because it would be kind of in a hill, and space those plants out. And now you have 4 plants, either to donate one to one of your friends or just to enhance the flowering that you have.
Sure. There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Mike in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I got a composting question. Now, I got multiple compost piles, so I can keep track of how long they've been composting. And I've been told, I have a dog, and I put my pet waste in the compost pile. I've been told not to, but I have for years and years, and it's never been a problem. And I was wondering if I've been misinformed or if that's true.
That is true, because our pet waste sometimes carries certain parasites. And when you use that compost in your garden, some of those parasites can attach to some of our root-producing vegetables, such as carrots and radishes and potatoes and things like that, or even the squash that lays on the ground, and it can be problematic. And so that's why we're suggesting pet waste not to be included in your compost pile. I would guess if you're using it under shrubbery or something like that, then that's a whole different story. So it depends how you're using your compost.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Janine in Decorah, Iowa. Hello to you.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of questions. The first one, I have a honeysuckle that I've had for several years. I got 2 at the same time. The one blooms like crazy. The other one doesn't bloom at all. Huh. Are there male and female honeysuckles?
Is this the vine type?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes all the way up to my garage roof, but not a blossom.
Yep. Well, not having a blossom doesn't mean it's boy or girl.
No.
It's just that whether it has fruit on it. There are a couple of reasons. One might be the fact that it's a fairly tender variety and the flower buds might be being damaged or something like that. Or you're fertilizing it too much and it's growing the bead heck and doesn't have time to produce flowers.
I don't hardly fertilize it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
well,
good.
Neighbor's dog.
But
anyway, that it doesn't come in male or female. So I'm guessing it has to do with a lot of nutrients. It might even be something that was buried there long before the garage was built. So you don't know really what's going on.
That could be. That could be. Okay, then the other question has to do with a pine sapling. I think it's white pine, but I'm not sure, that we got from my daughter. She teaches school, and she got a bunch for her kids, and this was one that was left over. She's been keeping it in her refrigerator. And we'd like to plant it. Can we plant it now?
When did she get it?
Probably in October. I suppose probably mid-September.
Okay. I try to get it in the ground as soon as you can, because it isn't going to survive in the refrigerator, and hopefully it's still alive.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Green.
Well, it's green, but it doesn't mean the front growing bud is alive.
Oh, yeah.
I would take and plant it, even if it's in your garden, then you can always move it next spring to someplace else. But get it in the ground, get those roots established. Make sure you water it about once a week until the soil freezes. And
just
you'll find
it down as deep as the root ball is, right?
Yeah, you'll be able to see where the roots come out, and I would maybe go about a quarter or half inch above that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Janine. Jake and Madison, on to you now. Hi, Jake.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling to ask about a plant that I never see at nurseries. I haven't really talked to anybody about except siblings. We grew up with this plant in rural Wisconsin. I grew up on a farm. And near our back door, we had a kind of a hedge of them. We always called them honeysuckles, but I learned not long ago that they're actually clove currants. It's a plant with a yellow, bright yellow flower that blooms in the spring that's very fragrant. And I think it has little orange stamens. And the leaf is sort of a fan-shaped leaf.
Fan-shaped, did you say?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you say fan-shaped?
Yeah, kind of a fan-shaped small leaf. And they're extremely fragrant. You were talking about fragrant shrubs, and I guess it's not a honeysuckle, but I wondered why there was no more. I never see it in nurseries and never see it in parks, and wondered if you were familiar with the shrub.
Well, there are a few shrubs that kind of fit that category. One of them that comes to mind with the yellow flower and the cinnamon flavor is one that's called the cinnamon currant. And it has a small yellowish berry, which isn't too bad to eat, or you can make jellies out of it. You can grow it as a hedge. And so you need to shop around a little bit for currants. And it's not a honeysuckle. It's in the currant area. So I would check for that. And I would look for like a cinnamon. The name of it, one of the names of it is cinnamon currant. And you can sometimes find those in some of the garden catalogs. There's one that, or even writing a letter to the garden catalog, just sending them, and they can sometimes find it for you.
Sure. There you go. Thanks for calling. Mike in Cambridge, we'll get to you in just a minute. Just a reminder, Bob Tomisch, our guest today, senior lecturer in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison and UW Extension, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bob Tomisch, our guest here on Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Bob and Mike in Cambridge waiting online. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a suggestion to the lady who called about the leaf mold process, and I do it myself every year. I learned this one from Michael Fields, had a program several years ago I went to. And anyway, collect your leaves now, and then and come spring, the first thing, chop them up fine with your lawnmower, and then layer your layers with a sprinkling of water and make them so it's like a sponge that's been wrung out and sort of damp. And then after you've piled it up, cover it with black plastic, and you will have excellent leaf mold within 2 weeks. And if you're growing tomatoes, that's all the fertilizer you'd need. That's what I have to say.
All right.
That was a very good suggestion there. And I was also going to add the lady that called from Menominee that had the hay. One of the things that can also be done is use that hay mulch between the rows in the vegetable garden after it gets growing, and use that as a mulch to keep weeds down. And by fall, it usually has deteriorated enough that you can just spade it back into the ground. So it's another way of using that material, of adding organic matter.
Another good way. Nathan in Honey Creek, we'll go to you now. Hi, Nathan. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just recently picked up some hops rhizomes, nugget hops.
Yeah.
And I, hello?
Yes.
I was wondering how I should plant those. Everywhere I've looked says plant them in the spring, and I don't want to keep them in my refrigerator for that long. So any advice that I could get on those would be much helpful.
Yep. Right now, you don't have the facilities to store them properly. So the better place for those to be would be to plant them in the ground and then cover it with mulch, spreading about 4 or 5 inches across. I'd wait till the soil cools just a little bit more down, usually around the just before Thanksgiving, placing mulch over it to keep the soil from really getting a real chill down. Some people even set bales of hay over it, and then they should be okay till spring and take off.
All right.
Okay, and thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And on those bales, more questions on that. Pat in La Crosse emailed, had tomato blight the last couple of years, looking for an alternative. Have you ever heard of planting in a bale of hay? Is this a viable method to grow tomatoes? Plant them right in a bale of hay.
Well, usually the hay doesn't keep enough moisture unless you're watering it regularly. Some people plant them in a compost pile, but the whole issue with the blight, either it's airborne, which we've had a lot of problem with the late blight issue, or it can be soil-borne spores. And those spores are in the garden, and they splash up on the new transplants. And that's why we're suggesting rotation, even the garden. Don't plant tomatoes in the same location on a four-year rotation. So that'll give you some protection.
Another emailer, was told to wait until fall to have my red oak trees trimmed. Is this the best time to do it? Still a little early.
Still early. We got a lot of insects out there that can carry the. And what happens is, as soon as you make a cut, there's a small amount of sap. Insects come in, and they can also bring diseases. And so with our red oaks, and there's a very good bulletin of the University of Minnesota, and it's available, I think, through the learningstar.com on pruning oaks. And they'll suggest in there to wait till about January.
So, yeah, you want to wait till sure there's no insects around, because you don't want oak wilt. That is for sure. Larry Mueller here. Mary Kay Shear joining us again from Wisconsin Public Radio, obviously. And we're here on this last day of the fall membership drive to remind you that WPR relies on you to keep this program on the air. The membership drive ends today. So this is your last chance to contribute during this program and during Garden Talk. A gift of any amount makes a big difference in our ability to provide the programs you count on. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Mary Kay, we met our challenge.
We met our challenge. It's very exciting. And thank you so much to the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. That was just so great of you to do that. And people have been calling in and had their pledges doubled. And of course, when we make a goal, we always set a new goal. So we have a new goal for the rest of this program, which is 100 calls, and we have 73 to go. We've gotten 27 in so far, so 73 to go, and you can do it right now with your pledge of support. Help us out. Help Larry out. This is the last day. Show him that you really appreciate this kind of programming. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a very hefty goal, 100. I was kind of looking back, and I think there's probably only a couple of programs during the whole drive that had more than 100 as a goal. So it's the trust that the people here have in you as Garden Talk listeners and as people who enjoy Garden Talk. I hope you'll support us right now. And I know a lot of people kind of hover around the radio when it's when this program's on. People have told me they sit in the car and listen because they find something really interesting. I appreciate the knowledge that Bob Tomish has, and all of the other great the other great guests we have, and also your questions and views. I tell you what, I hope you'll make a pledge of support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It almost literally is like having a university professor or lecturer come into your home and give you personal advice. How great is that? And we love doing it. Larry's been doing this for more years than we care to count.
A long time.
And we so much appreciate Larry's contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Give back a little bit here to Wisconsin Wisconsin Public Radio into Larry's program. It's easy to do. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time. And it's 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Dollar a week, that adds up to about 50, maybe a couple bucks a week, $100 for the year. And all year long, you're going to benefit from this program and all of the other WPR programs you love. So make a vote here. Make your contribution for Garden Talk. Do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can. Here, by the way, I'm just looking. I've just found something here from a listener. Let's listen to that.
I listen to WPR so that I can hear unbiased news and so I'm able to hear both sides of an issue. I also enjoy getting information on issues that other media does not cover, and I enjoy the variety of programs. I contribute because I hope to be part of the future of WPR and to make sure it's here for future generations.
And I hope it's here for future generations as well. Listener support, such a big part of why this program is available to you right now. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we are so pleased to have had that wonderful dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000 from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. That was so great of them, and it was their way of saying, support this program. Now we've got another way of asking you to support this program, which is we have a goal of 100 calls for this hour, for the rest of this show, I should say, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. We have 72 calls to go. You can be one of those. Why don't you be the next person? 71 calls to go. Be the next person and be part of the fun. Double the buying power of your pledge right now. You've done it before, and you can do it again. We'd love to hear from you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know what? It's down to the wire. Our fall membership drive ends today at 6 p.m., and for this program, it ends in 35 minutes, so I'm really hoping we can make our goal here. We've another 70 calls to go. Still plenty of time to cast your vote in favor of Garden Talk and Wisconsin Public Radio. If you just take a couple of minutes to make your pledge of support right now.
And I want to say thanks if you've already pledged, because a lot of people have. And if you give loyally year after year with some kind of sustaining monthly donation, we so much appreciate that. That's what keeps the budget stable here at Wisconsin Public Radio. If you haven't given yet, take this opportunity right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
69 more to go. For you to get great radio, we need to pay the bills just like any other business. Specifically, we may need to pay for programs, phone lines, computers, broadcast towers, all kinds of things.
Absolutely. There's a lot going on here. It's a big network. If you can, consider a $1,000 contribution. It will help cover the costs that make fulfilling our mission possible. And, of course, our mission is to bring valuable programs to Wisconsin. We think that you value them, and because you do, make your pledge now in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you're going to hear a lot of things. You'll hear about politics. You hear about the sciences, humanities. Certainly, we cover the environment on this program a lot. Gardening, finances, popular culture, you name it. It's a valuable service, a service worth supporting. I support it with my dollars. I know Mary Kay does with her dollars, yep, as well. Your contribution of $50 or $100 or whatever amount you choose makes these Ideas Network programs possible. So if you haven't pledged, do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's very easy to make your voice heard here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Let us know that this program is important to you. Here's a way to vote with your pocketbook, with your wallet. These are all ways of saying, make your pledge now to Wisconsin Public Radio. Do it now on the last chance, last day to pledge for Larry's Show and Garden Talk at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, so now I hope you'll make the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio financially. Correlation's as simple as that, and I think that pledging is pretty simple, too. I know it's simple, as a matter of fact. Just go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. And we're moving, but we've got a ways to go. About two calls a minute, I think, to reach our goal.
Well, there you go. We've got 66 calls to go. We have a couple of people who have called and given us comments. A friend from Washburn pledged and says, Wisconsin Public Radio is so worthwhile. I get useful information and some chuckles, too. And I know that I do as well. And maybe you do, too. So join that friend from Washburn and make your pledge now. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And consider becoming a sustaining member by making an automatically renewing monthly contribution. You can do it from your bank account or from your credit card. The more sustainers we have, the more stable we are. And to thank you, we'll plant a tree, a jack pine, as a matter of fact, I've been told, in the Shawamigan National Forest. Had some great comments from people. Another caller said it's helped me with computer problems, financial questions, allows me to keep up with the news when I otherwise wouldn't have the time. What about you? How has Wisconsin Public Radio helped you? Well, Bob Tomich is going to be with us right up until 12:20 or so today. But right now, call 888-202-2552, make a contribution, or even better yet, go to WPR.org and make that contribution. We're going to be going away for some news, but make your contribution right now, and we'll be back after the news. Bob Tomich, our guest here on Garden Talk, and just a quick reminder, we're at 60 more pledges to go to reach our goal for this hour, so if you haven't contributed, do it now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. Could really want to make that goal. And we want to talk with Patty as well. Patty's in Stone Lake, excuse me. Hi, Patty.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is just a curiosity question. We have four flowering crabs, all, you know, fairly close together, and they all blossomed, and they're all full of the little crab apples, but one of them, about 3 weeks ago, about six or eight of the branches blossomed, and it just is so unusual. We just wondered what on earth would make it blossom now.
Yeah, we've got a couple things going on. One is that it's extremely warm, and so the plant is carrying on physiology. We do see the flowering crabs blossoming in August, September, and October once in a while. Not a full flush like we would see in the spring, but just a few flowers here and there. And that has to do many times with the defoliation, especially if you do not have a disease-resistant crab, a plant or tree that loses most of its leaves by August. And then with the warm temperatures we had, it kind of thought spring was coming on. So you'll still have some flowers on there next spring, not quite as many. But that's a phenomenon that we see happening all across the state.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Carrie in Madison wonders if she's supposed to cut back her butterfly bush or will it bloom again next year on the old growth? It's her first year with it, and she just doesn't know what to do with it.
Yep. Usually with the butterfly bush, doing pruning in the spring, not right now, it's too early, but wait till either the plant freezes, and any time I would say after the end of January, cutting it back, leaving stems of probably a foot long or so, and especially if they're under the snow, they're protected, and they'll start sending up new shoots. The butterfly bush blossoms on the end of each of the shoots or in that area. And so it's the new growth that occurs either at the base of on the stems or right from the crown.
All right. John in Marinette, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi there. It is Baronet. But
oh.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yep. Right between Shell Lake and Baron. I mean, Shell Lake and Cumberland. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, I got two questions for you. One, the first one's regarding my apple tree, and I wish I knew what kind of apples they were, but it's irrelevant here. I called this show about 3-4 years ago and learned when to trim it back and cut all the sucker branches and stuff off, and I've been doing that, and it's great. But the last 2 years, the apples have been delicious and plentiful, but very small. Last year, I counted it to the drought, because we just didn't get any moisture at all. But this year they're still small, and I'm wondering if there's something I can feed it to plump those apples back up again.
Well, you're doing a good job taking care of your tree, so that's why you're getting some pretty good fruit crops. Drought has something to do with it. And one of the things that we encourage people to do is use bark chips out to the canopy, edge of the canopy of the tree. This will keep moisture fairly consistent during dry spots or periods. The other thing is do some thinning. Commercially, growers go through and thin their apples. We want to have one fruit about every 6 inches. And unfortunately, when that plant blossoms in the spring, they come out in clusters of five, and you might have five apples all in the same spot. The tree does go through some self-pruning where you find apples on the ground right after petal drop and then about every 2-3 weeks during the season. But what I suggest doing, if you want some larger apples, you can start out with the branches that you can reach about 10, 12 days after petal drop. Go through with just a small little, either a scissors or what we call a fruit harvest, a cluster harvest shear, and just go through and cut back and save one fruit for every about 6 inches, and you'll find they'll be a lot larger. It'd be surprising what happens. I have a couple of trees that at one of the research stations that I maintain each year just for demonstration purposes when I have some twilight hort talks, just showing people this is the spacing. Notice how much larger these fruit are on this branch where we didn't prune, and it all has to do with the tree's ability to feed those fruit.
There you go.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right.
My next question is, again, 3 or 4 years ago, a friend, I was doing some drywall work on a house, and the people were breaking up these rose bushes because they were getting big and they wanted to spread them out. And they asked me if I wanted a shoot. So I took it and dug a hole, put some peat in, and put this white rose bush in. And the thing has become gigantic in only, I think, just 3 summers. Maybe it's 4. But now it's like 5.5 feet tall. It's probably 18 feet around. And it only makes white roses once a year, early in the spring, and that's it. But they're very, very, very fragrant. I mean, it's just beautiful smelling plant. Wondering if you have any idea what it could be.
Sure.
I trim that one back.
Well, one of the things is, I'm guessing it's an old variety because some of the newer varieties blossom a couple times during the year or even extended. Around Madison here, there's several bushes that are in full bloom right now.
Yeah, actually. But and they're very it's very fragrant.
Some of the old varieties blossomed only once.
Yeah.
And there is a place in Hastings, Minnesota that sells roses. I don't know what the name of the nursery happens to be, but you might want to check with them on some of the old varieties. I believe Old World, Wisconsin might have some of the old rose varieties, but just to come up with a name, it's rather difficult. If you'd have said yellow, there's only one yellow one that blossoms once, but in the white ones, there are several.
There you go. All right. Thanks a lot for calling, John. Appreciate it. Jeannie in Lake Mills. Hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have two things. I was wondering, the guy had called earlier about the hops, and I thought I'd heard somewhere that that's one of those things that can become invasive, so depending on what the purpose is that one of those, is that correct, that it's something you have to be careful with?
It's not on the invasive list. There are some native hop varieties that grow close to the ground, though you may be more invasive because they do spread some seeds. But the ones I believe he's talking about is culturing for brewing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's they are very vigorous. Once you have them established.
Man, they grow 18 feet in a day.
You can almost watch them grow during the day.
Yeah, I've heard they grow really, really fast. My other question was I wanted to know, how do you get your ground ready if you want to throw down some like native prairie plants to bring a small area for your garden?
Well, there's books written on that. I would check with your local county soil conservation service, and they have some publications on how to get that started. Normally, you prepare your soil. You can buy seed mixes or do plugging where you actually start with small transplants, and you can buy these from certain native plant nurseries. I wouldn't tackle an acre at a time. I'd make it small, and you have to do some weeding for a couple, 3 years, because you think of it almost as a perennial flower bed. Once you get the plants established, then they'll take over. And also, native prairie is about 70% grass or more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all in the mix.
There's a couple of good organizations, the Wild Ones, And prairie enthusiasts have websites that give a lot of information, too.
Yeah, go on the web. You'll find a wealth of information on that. But there are some publications that were put together through the DNR on native plants and where to buy them and how
and what to do. And they're very good publications. Yep. Yeah, very good.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jeannie. Peter in Bailey's Harbor, your turn. Hi.
Hi. I have two quick questions.
Okay.
One is about Asiatic lilies. How late in a year can you transplant the bulbs? And the second question is about the raspberries. We planted a couple bushes of the heritage raspberry this year, and they've been just doing wonderful. I think they're still producing. So we wanted to plant more, but the only one place that we can put it in, it's on the east side of the house. Would it be a good place for raspberry bushes? So there's no trees there, there's no shade, but it only gets a morning sun.
Okay, with the Asiatic lilies, that's a real tender bulb, but you're in part of Wisconsin where the soil sometimes doesn't freeze every year, and they'll probably do fairly well. I would wait until the top freezes off and then move the bulb either this fall or early next spring. Sometimes when you move them, you will not have a flower that year because the flower bud might be damaged and only send up vegetative tissue. Secondly, the raspberries, I know you have heritage. Just as a suggestion now, I would look at some of the newer varieties like Autumn Bliss, Autumn Britain, Jacqueline. Some of those varieties start producing fruit about a month earlier than Heritage. And so if you're going to plant a few plants on the east side and you're getting a good 6-8 hours of light, I think you can get away with it. And I would look at one of the other varieties, and that way you'll have some earlier raspberries, and the Heritage will fill in with the late last raspberries. When I first started graduate school here, Heritage had just come out, and we thought we had the world by the tail because, man, we had a fall crop. We've learned how to grow them also, but they wouldn't start ripening till the 15th of September, and the poor souls in the northern two-thirds of Wisconsin, man, winter was coming on fast, and they never ripened. But with some of the new varieties, I think fall-bearing varieties are a very good option. Get rid of the canes either late fall or early in the spring, and the new growth will get started, and you'll have the fruit developing usually sometime in August or September of that season.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have some more callers online here. Let's go to Bob in Jackson next. Bob, hi. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call.
Good afternoon, and thanks very much. And just before my quick question, I want to say a master gardener who I contacted out over here in the West Bend area spoke very highly of their interactions with Bob Tomasz. So congratulations. The master gardeners are paying attention to your talk.
Good.
So what I've got is a rose bush that Phil Pelletieri finally got me to get the insect problem under control, and it went crazy this year. It's growing over about a 7-foot trellis, and it has really got three major canes that are sending up enough runners to go over this trellis. So I'm worried about pruning, and the Master Gardener's booklet that she sent me showed that you took roses down to maybe like 10 inches tall on the main canes. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to cut this thing down that far. Do you just let it go over winter and then cut the die back in the spring? Or do you really cut it down that far this fall?
Well, when we're dealing with roses, sometimes we're dealing with their ability to survive winter, and that's why they often suggest cutting back. I'm suspecting with your trellis, you're hoping to keep as much growth as you possibly can there. What I would suggest doing is waiting till next spring and seeing which buds start to green up, and then do your pruning accordingly. And some of those varieties will have buds all the way up the stem, and that'll spread out. So I would go that route. Wait till a little later in the spring when you start seeing the buds turning green, and then that'll establish where you want to do your prune. If we have a very cold winter, you may be down to the 10-inch range like the rest of the neighbors. But I know you're trying to keep that trellis effect. And there are some rose varieties out there that grow 10, 12 feet, and they're not really almost stand on their own. And some of the botanical gardens, like here in Madison, the Albert Gardens, have a very good selection there if you want to see some
beautiful
water stuff.
Beautiful selection. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate it, Bob. Well, I tell you what, Mary Kay Shear joining us again on the last day and the last 10 minutes of the fall membership drive for at least for this program. And donations are really the foundation of the budget. That's why we're asking for your gift now. If you've been meaning to do it, you are running out of time. Do it now because the drive ends today. Go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Mary Kay, how are we doing with our goal here?
Well, we are running out of time, but we still have time for you to call and pledge your support. We have 55 people to go, 55 pledges to go to make that goal of $100 by 12:30. We are really looking forward to having you call because pledges keep us on track to support the kind of programs that you count on, just like this program, Larry's program. So thanks if you've already given, and if not, give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You've been enjoying the conversation with Bob Tomisch, our UW-Madison senior lecturer in horticulture, as he talks about gardening. Doesn't he know a lot? I mean, he does just an amazing job on a broad range of topics here relating to gardening. I hope you'll take a few minutes to make this hour and the many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs that you enjoy today, then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we always wonder, well, what does make a pledge mean anyway? You don't have to pledge anything except your support. A pledge is basically a promise that you will support Wisconsin Public Radio. And it's a kind of a two-way thing because we pledge to bring you great shows every single day, and you pledge to support them in any amount.
Kathy Berenger joining us from Wisconsin Public Radio. You've got a little update for us?
I do. Thank you, Larry. You know, we are so grateful for all the support we've received for WPR programs during this drive. And we have until 6 p.m. today to raise $1,075,000. We are about $105,000 away from that number right now. Now, this may sound like a big number, but it's possible, given the thousands of people who listen to WPR. We can make it if we meet every hourly goal from here on out. So be one of those people to help us fund the programs you love by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And to make it count and to reach our goal in this hour, we still need 55 more people to contribute, Mary Kay.
55 more people. You can do it. Why don't you be the next one? Get us down to 54 more people. When you help pay the cost of this station, we make sure that there's something interesting for you to listen to. I know you've enjoyed Bob's expertise today, and now is your chance to support that. And what you hear every single day, December, January, April, May, whatever season, we'd love to hear from you right now, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
And let's listen to another public radio listener.
I love the job that's done by the host on how they make sure that the guests are prepared, as well as make sure both sides are presented. I don't miss a day without listening to public radio.
That is pretty cool, isn't it? And maybe you don't miss a day of listening to public radio as well. And maybe Friday, I know a lot of people never miss a Garden Talk show on Fridays, or they try not to anyway. If you're one of those people who really enjoys this hour of this Garden Talk program or any of the other great programs we have, I hope you'll make a gift now. $50, $100, $500 would be wonderful. Whatever the amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
50 pledges to go to make this goal in the next 7 minutes is very doable. And you heard Kathy say that if we make every single goal from here on out, we will make the goal for the whole drive and we'll be able to have pledge-free programming for months to come. So make sure you make it happen right now and help us out. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
You decide the amount of the pledge, be it $50, $100, whatever the amount, And whatever that amount, I hope you'll do it right now in the next 5 minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're at 50 to go.
50 to go. And you know what? Every single week we are here in week in and week out. And Larry Mueller is here for you. He is one of the most faithful hosts we've ever had. He has been here for a long time, and we appreciate every moment he's given to us. Every week we get to hear about a great expert from a great expert, people like Bob Tomish, Melinda Myers. You've heard all these folks. They are fantastic, and they know about gardening, and they know about other things as well. So we've got all kinds of things going on here, and we would love to hear from you right now to support not only Garden Talk, but every program that Larry does and the programs that you love, as well as Larry's show. Support it now. Whether you get gardening information all year long with your pledge, right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listener contributions make up about 40% of our budget, and the number of listeners who contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio is growing, and that's the key to our strength. We're asking you to jump on that bandwagon today here, especially in the next 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes or so, 50 to go to reach our goal. Go now to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just 1 or 2% more of the audience makes a huge difference to WPR in terms of support. So with your gift, we are well on our way to getting the donors we need to help keep Wisconsin Public Radio strong. And we do have 49.
We broke that
50 mark. We have 49.
47.
This is very doable. It's very doable. Don't let us down. We'd love to hear from you right now. It's very exciting, and it is our last day, our last chance. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $60 a year, some give $1,000 or more, whatever that amount. We'll use it to support our programs, and in turn, you'll stay informed and entertained. So give now, whatever the amount is comfortable for you, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I just wanted to read a couple of quick comments here because they're so so indicative of the people that love Wisconsin Public Radio. These are people who have already pledged. Here's one. I tell my students at the university that WPR is really the place to go to get a true liberal arts education, and there are no tests.
That's right. No tests here. The Master Gardeners, though, as a matter of fact, can get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk. So there's some credit there.
There is. And somebody else was saying, I've always wanted to plant a tree. This tree to me will be in honor of my great-grandmother who passed away recently. So there's a lot of really wonderful, heartfelt passion behind the giving to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can be a part of it, too. You can do it right now. You can go to WPR.org online or call us, 888-202-2552.
Jennifer from Fitchburg says, I appreciate so much about WPR, but am especially grateful for this election season, for the candidate forums. Other people have said they really enjoy every week of Garden Talk and the other programs that we have from 11 to 12:30 here on the Ideas Network.